Let's move on from the novella side of this stuff, and let's talk about the actual basketball here, because I think we agree that offensively this can be a juggernaut. Like, I think it you know, should be a top 3 to 5 offense in the league next year. Defensively, I think on a night by night basis in the NBA, enough like the bag of tricks can be deep enough that they can be an average defense on a night by, like, when we average it out at the end of the season. If they are an elite offense and an okay defense in the regular season, that wins you a division, that wins you 50-ish games, and you have home court in the first round of the playoffs. Is there anything that you and I or that we could see from this team over the course of the regular season that would make you less nervous about how they'll look in the playoffs?
How they play against the top-end teams. We got freaking smoked by OKC in San Antonio last year. So it's more like a day-to-day process that it's part of why I'm so thrilled about the Lakers Summer League. And from talking to Lakers people, like, one thing that always comes up is they want to build a program and a culture. And this sounds like buzzwords, and of course they are to some degree, but like that idea of a sustainable program, I think more and more under this CBA, it's going to be like, you have your one dude who's your superstar. You have your number two guy who's also paid very well and super important. And then more and more like a bunch of depth, and that having a program and a culture and player development within that is super important. And so they need to sort of build out the bones and muscles and sinew of what the culture of the team. And I think the defense is going to be the on-court manifestation of that. But when we go up against those teams, like, can the offense still get their offense going? Because when we played OKC, the two times that we had both Luka and Austin healthy last year, we didn't even have 40 points at halftime.
Yeah.
We were down 30 in those games. So if you're talking to me about, like, what I'm looking for is, you don't got to win those games, but give them some hell. Don't get your ass kicked. Don't get run off the floor the way that you did last year and compete with those other teams and still handle your business against those younger teams. And I think on a night-to-night basis, that's going to be somewhat easier because, like, LeBron, we understand just how incredible what he's doing at this point of his career is, but he has to manage the season in a way where he was even on Mind the Game saying, like, he doesn't put that much into the regular season in ways. It's like, no, all these dudes are in their 20s now. Every single game, every single night, I want to have this sort of mentality from the summer carry over into the regular season of like, no, we're here to fuck you up. And if you win, then so be it. But like, we're here to fight and take every night and every game seriously in a way that you can't do in year 23. Like, it's not an insult against LeBron. It's just not possible. And so that's what I want to see, man, is don't get your butts kicked the way you did against the really good teams last year and like handle business against those other ones. What do you want to see?
That's a big part of it. The other part of it too is like, I want to see these guys individually take the challenge of, you know, because like Austin is going to be put in the pick and roll and they're going to try to isolate him and they're going to try to go at him on an island. Luka is going to be attacked and stuff like that too. And Mamu is, I think, going to be attacked quite a bit in space and stuff. And I want to see how individually those guys, you know, those question marks that the Lakers have defensively, handle those challenges, because I do think Luka and Austin, I haven't seen enough of Mamu to say one way or the other, but I do think Luka and Austin are a little underrated in that regard. Like, just in general, like you said, pick up that challenge. You guys, you know, Luke, Austin, you are making 40 whatever million dollars next season. Luka, you're making 55 or whatever million dollars next season, whatever the number is. You guys are combining for almost $100 million collectively between the two of you. Yeah, I know that you guys are going to be, you know, overwhelming offensively, both together and individually. But I need to see those guys every single night take up that challenge of defending at a level and building those habits over the course of a season, defending at the level that they're going to need to defend to have real postseason success. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a like a subjective, you know, request or whatever. It'd be one of those things where it's like, you'll know it if you see it. But that to me is where this team can most effectively address its biggest questions.
You also have to put in the time, like what's the old Herm Edwards, like a dream without a plan is a wish or something like, or a goal without a plan is a wish, something like that, right? Where one thing that kind of flew under the radar that made me go, I want to know more about this is, didn't Wyke report that they just recently had like a vets mini camp or something like that in Vegas over the course of Summer League where it's like,
it wasn't just Wyke. I think Austin just came out and said it. And Kessler,
did he say it? Okay. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that's amazing. That's exactly, that's what they did in 2019 route to the 19-20 championship. And then they tried the next couple of years and it got progressively less like, oh, we'll do it for a couple of days. And then it's like, let's meet in San Diego and have dinner. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it became less and less intense. I want to see a level of intensity and like, yeah. And that's the thing too, with the Lakers perimeter defense, everybody knows internally, externally, what this team's weaknesses are on paper. And to do what you're talking about, like you can put together a pretty good team defense. And I'd argue that Redick's done pretty well, like post AD of not having that elite level talent of kind of making chicken salad out of chicken shit. And now we've got a legit rim protector again that I think we could be a little bit better, but it requires that type of, okay, we're going to meet over the summer voluntarily to build that sort of connectivity. That's what I wanted. Like all of, it's just blah, blah, blah talk if they don't actually put the time in like that. So the fact that they're doing that and it's what, mid-July right now, like we're a couple months away. I'm excited about that. And then one thing on top of that, if you're going to do that, guys are going to get hurt. They're going to get dinged up. They're going to, like, the biggest addition this offseason might be that recovery lab that they were talking about in the postseason press conference of like, are you able to keep your players
healthy? The biggest addition is the subtraction of the South Bay Lakers. Get out of here.
Because look, man, if Luka's in street clothes next playoffs, all of this is like just, you know, it doesn't matter. All the other stuff doesn't matter. So like, put that work in, put that time together, and keep your dudes healthy. And I'd be real excited about this year.
Yeah, to that, that's all kind of adding up to my kind of bigger point here is like as far as what I need to see from these guys, like. All summer, the talk has been, how do you build an okay defense around Austin? How do you build an okay defense around Luka? How do you build an okay defense around Luka and Austin, right? Mm-hmm. But in order to build a championship defense, you need buy-in from Luka. You need buy-in from Austin. Mm-hmm. You need those guys to actually defend to the best of their abilities, you know, to the point where they don't need to be picked up for as constantly, because if you bring in guys who are specifically equipped to make up for those guys' issues on defense, you wind up with a whole bunch of Vanderbilts. And that's not how the Lakers are going to maximize Luka and Austin's abilities, you know? And so like, yeah, it really kind of starts with on a night by night basis, those guys accepting the challenge and like relishing in the challenge of proving everybody wrong. Like, no, actually we'll be pretty good defensively. Just watch, you know? And then now the kind of defense that you play in the regular season is a little different from, or really different from the kind of defense that you play in the playoffs. So to a certain extent, it's just one of those things that we have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like that it's a cultural thing that I want to see from the Lakers this year that will make me feel better about this team going into the playoffs. Cause I think talent wise, offensively, they have more than enough talent to be a elite playoff offense. It's just like, all right, where are we going to get the defense to?
I feel like they're off to a good start from a culture standpoint. Summer League and this is our development system. This is our minor league. This is a symptom of what the culture of the team is. And this is the most fun I've had for Summer League team since 2017. And just like, I was hooting and hollering watching them yesterday, like, cause both teams kind of had this similar, and this has been several games, but like both teams had this similar, like athleticism and I'm fighting for my spot nastiness and Lakers just walked them down. I just love this team.
The way that, because the Clippers game got chippy, the Bulls game got chippy, mm-hmm. and in both times, like, I always love it when it gets chippy and you see smiles from the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, like that's the guy you don't want to fight. The guy who like, you know, somebody's yapping, somebody's going, somebody's just like, all right, you know, or like the gif, the meme that we got from Messi, right? When Dillingham was you know, talking to him at midfield and whatever he said last, Messi's like, oh, it's like that. Okay. Say goodbye to your soul. You know, and it's just like, it's just that I hope, Pete, that you're right, that this is like the beginnings of that organizational culture, that the coaching staff is basically letting everybody know, hey, what you're seeing from these guys here who are barely even parts of our organization, because like how many of them are actually going to be parts of the organization moving forward? Like what you're seeing from them, that's what we're expecting of everybody. And, you know, if that takes hold, that's something that you watch from OKC. Everybody who steps on the court for OKC defends at the best of their abilities. They aren't all elite defenders necessarily, but they all get as much out of their defensive talent as they can possibly get. And same is expected of San Antonio. Same was expected of New York. Like those teams that have that postseason success, like that's what's expected of them. And I, that's, you know, last year it became a meme, right? The championship tendency, like the sign that they had up in practice, right? It was like championship work ethic, championship this, championship that. And early on in the season, or anytime somebody was like just kind of like lollygagging back on defense, it was like championship stuff my ass, you know? And I want to see that accountability. I want to see guys get on each other for this. I actually think Jared Vanderbilt is a big part of this in the locker room as well. Let's wrap with some questions and send everybody off into their weekends. We got one from Lounge VIP Triple J writing, happy Friday, y'all. Salute. Very fun team to watch this summer. Who, Pete, of the Lakers summer league guys, who would you wager the most since they're playing in Vegas and that's a thing that you can do? Do you think is definitely going to be a pro?
Oh, Cam. I mean, I know that's not rocket science, but Cameron Carr, that dude's going to be in the league for 10 years. Like, yeah, that dude can shoot. He's got crazy athletic tools. It's interesting, his defensive role going forward, he's not a point of attack guy. He's kind of lanky. He's got not only long arms, but long legs. And that can make him a little vulnerable to quickness off of the dribble. And so he's not really going to play that role of staying in front the same way. But he, I think, projects very well as a help defender, as a, like, having shot blocking and rim protection at non-center positions helps out so much. A guy that can come over and actually bother you at the rim. Like, think about what
such a big part of Kobe's game.
Yes. And Derek White is, Dwayne Wade, like, Derek White with the Celtics, like, guards that can do that. It just provides a whole, it opens up things that, think about the series against OKC last year. Like, the way Austin gets targeted, for example, is not as much the, oh, I'm going to isolate you on the perimeter, although AJ Mitchell got him a couple times, but it was way more often, you guys are going to switch. Okay, Hartenstein, go wrestle with Austin or Luke Kennard, you know, and that's way more of the way that they do that. So, with Cam, like, he's skinny and they're going to try to do, you know, attack his strength, but his length and what was that stat they showed the other day? He was the only player in D1 that hit 73s and blocked 40 shots. That's a super rare combination for
that type of player. That's a great stat. Yeah. I let you off the hook there by making Cam an option. So I will go off of the board. I think Kaluma is going to be a 7-year pro. Yeah, like I think he's like his ability to shoot, he's super physical. Like I think he's going to be good. Let's see the next question here. Your boy Rich writes, random, would this be the first season with no circus, no bus beef, no Rambi, no Rob versus Magic, no LeBron and Rich Paul? Are we actually going to have a drama-free season? No.
It's history determines as such. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a level of coverage and there's a level of media depends on Lakers drama. So if it ain't there, I was talking about this last year. They're going to try to rub them sticks together, that kindling together to start a fire wherever they can. However, I kind of see where Rich is coming from of like, on paper, I think there is less kindling than there's been in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of what even the source would be aside from like basketball questions, right? Because like if the basketball isn't where it needs to be, then that's going to start the drama that we're kind of talking about here. Mm-hmm. But I'm not nervous about this team in the regular season. So yeah, I mean, like I joked, obviously. I think there's a possibility that Rich is onto something here, though. Like, it'll be nice. It would be nice to just get to focus on the basketball and laugh at like the ridiculous drama that gets stirred up so that like ESPN Today or whatever ESPN's NBA show is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it'll be nice. It would be nice to just kind of say, all right, it's Wednesday. What do we talk about today? You know, and actually mean it. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We'll go one more question here and then get us out. I think I saw another question from another member earlier. Where are we at? No, I guess not. Pete, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Just doing Lakers Collective with Trevor and Jovan, having a blast doing that. And so come check me out over there. Got the LFR pod. So, and thank you for having me on, man. It's fun.
Oh, this guy, speaking of the collective.
Oh, yeah, we answered this yesterday. Cindy, right at the very end. Mm-hmm.
Do we think that, I haven't watched. Do you think, he's asking, I offered this question on the Lakers Collective. Do you think there's any chance Kessler could hit the lab with Powell?
Probably not, because Powell's a busy man that doesn't always, around. Yeah, he's a very worldly man. And but the direction I took the answer yesterday is that this is one thing that I'm excited about with Kessler is he doesn't have a wide variety of different shots that he takes, but he's very efficient in the ones that he does. And what reminds me of Powell is he's great in the mic and drill. So Kessler's really efficient on putbacks. He led the NBA in offensive rebounding a couple of years ago. And one thing about putbacks is you don't have a whole lot of time to get the shot back up, right? You're usually amongst the trees and you catch it. And if you're on the left side of the basket, a lot of bigs, if they're right-handed, they can't go just very comfortably right back up with their left hand. DA, for example, would always, and who was a very good finisher, but he would always like sort of pivot back to his right hand. Like Kessler's going to make those mic and drill type of layups where it's like left hand, left side, bucket. I get it on the right side, bucket. And so he's very effective from corner to corner in terms of cutting under the basket. He also like try to put yourself in the player's position of if you're starting in the one dunker spot and you're cutting across the basket along the baseline, if you're looking right up, that's where the basket is, right? And so you have to sort of like visually figure out where you are and then coordinate that. And so Kessler is actually very good at shooting reverse layups over his head, or he does the Jay Huff thing where he's like a lot of reverse dunks as well. Yeah. And what reminds me of Powell is he keeps the ball high. So he's efficient with both hands and he keeps the ball high. Now Powell could do that out to like freaking 15 feet and had a whole suite of offense. I'm not comparing them in that respect, but just that like big man that keeps the ball high and finishes with either hand efficiently around the rim. That was one of the things I loved about Powell is like wherever he caught it, whatever footwork he caught it in, wherever the defender was, he was like, okay, well, I just need to do this with my right hand or do this with my left hand. And he could do that. And in a much more limited capacity, he was like Kessler can really do that.
I also really like Kessler's instincts on when and when not to dunk it. Like it's a real like one thing that got Dwight into trouble at the end of his career was that he wanted to dunk everything and he couldn't get off the ground as quickly as before. So it meant that he had to bring the ball down and then he would go and try to dunk it. He also was not like 7 feet tall. So like he had to jump that much higher to go up and dunk it. And especially the way that Dwight liked to dunk. And that led to a lot of strips, right? Or fouls down below that weren't and ones because he didn't get the ball up above his shoulders. And I'm watching Kessler. He's really good at understanding like, okay, in this spot, I just have to lay it up. Oh, in this spot, I do have a little bit of extra time. I can actually get up over the rim and dunk it. In this spot, somebody's rotating hard. I have to try to dunk it here to be able to get the foul. So it's a really instinctual thing about like what type of way to finish that I think he's pretty underrated at.
Yeah. And he keeps two hands on the ball a lot too. Like he likes to power through contact where he can. And that was something that I thought DEA was a little contact averse around the rim that sort of like we lost some opportunity and really good hands, like just catching the ball in the first place. I'm very excited to see him with Luka and Austin.
He has to be an all-star or all-star or like all-star adjacent player for the 2026 plan or the 26 through 28 plan to have any chance whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So like, yep. No pressure, Walker. Pete, this has been a blast as always. Thank you very much for hopping on. Thank you everybody for tuning in over the course of the week. Channel has been growing a bunch lately. So thank you everybody to all the new people who are around here. Thank you guys for hopping on and joining us with us. As always, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube and use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks to get your $50 worth of free Prize Picks lineups. Whenever you sign up, use the promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. Until Sunday, hopefully we'll see. I don't know. I don't think LeBron's going to make his decision over World Cup weekend. No. So I think we're probably pretty safe to say I'll talk to you guys again on Sunday. So until then, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you then.